message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
And I want to appreciate our Father in the Lord who has been training us and blessing us with all kind of blessings. If you are clapping to celebrate this great man of God, I think you can do better than that. We appreciate you, sir. We pray that the Lord will increase you more and more in the name of Jesus. I also want to appreciate Mama this evening. I pray that the Lord will bless you more and more, Ma, in the name of Jesus. God bless you, Ma, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I appreciate each and every one of us, all the pastors in the house, all the ministers, and each and every one of us here tonight. And I pray that the Lord is going to bless us tonight in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have been running a series since the beginning of this month. The title is Biblical Principles for Success in Relationship and Marriage. Biblical Principles for Success in Relationship and Marriage. And I know that God has blessed you and I tremendously. Last week we talked about some godly character that we need to have. And we talked about 8 characters for men and 8 characters for women. And I know that if we can imbibe these characters, our relationship and our marriages will turn a new leaf, a better leaf. And we begin to enjoy it the more in the name of Jesus. Some of the characters that we talked about last week are for women. We said a woman must love, a woman must manifest love, true love. A woman should show true love. Naturally, it's easy for women to love. That's why the Bible says the women should love. And the man should do what? The man should love, and the woman should respect. Praise the Lord. Also, there should be joy. There should be joy. Your heart should be full of joy. Any relationship where joy is scarce, that relationship will be scarce of success, will be scarce of blessings, and will be scarce of good things. Because joy attracts blessings. We also talk about that peace. There must always be peace. We also say that women should manifest long-suffering and perseverance and also kindness, that they should show kindness and meekness. And we also say that the man should walk in honesty. A man should walk in honesty. A man should be love and to love and be a caring man. And also we say a man should be a giver. You see, any man that doesn't give to his wife or his spouse-to-be, something is wrong, because one of the ways you can express love is by giving. By giving. If you say you love something and you are not giving to that thing, there is no love. Love is giving. Praise the Lord. And giving is not only in giving money. Giving is many. Giving your time, giving yourself, giving your energy. You know, some men don't believe in helping their wives to do certain things. I remember a young man sometimes ago gave a testimony and said, since the beginning of the year, or maybe since the beginning of the semester, he has not cooked. And I looked at that and I laughed and I said, I pity the woman that will marry this guy. Because definitely, perhaps maybe he knows how to cook, I don't know. Or perhaps he doesn't know how to cook. If he doesn't know how to cook, then the wife is in for it. Praise the Lord. A man should also know how to cook. Sometimes you tell them, please sit down, I want to cook. That's part of giving. Praise the Lord. A man should be reliable and should be trustworthy. He should be reliable. Trust must be there. You know, naturally, it is believed in African contents that a man can be how do I put it now? A man can be doer. He can move around and do things. But a woman cannot do that. When the woman do that, everybody carry koboko and they look at the woman with one kind eye. I tell you, the man that does that also needed to be dealt with. A man should be single. The Bible did not create 2 Eve for Adam. God didn't make 2 Eve for Adam when he created Adam. He made just 1 Eve. It means that ojukon ladamani, that is, a man, when you have 2 faces, become a sword. And a sword is not an implement for cultivating. It's an implement of war. It's a war instrument. Your homes will not be war zones in the name of Jesus. So if there's no trustworthiness, if there's no faithfulness, you can easily turn the home to a war zone. And we also say that a man should have a listening spirit, and that a man should be a defender and a protector of is our home. I tell you, more than being a protector, a man must be a provider. In fact, you should be the president of your home. You should be the president, the senate president, the governor, and all that. You should make sure everything is available for your home. And I pray that the Lord will bless us as we practice these principles and manifest these godly characters in our lives in the name of Jesus. Without taking much of our time tonight, we'll be going forward further on that same series. And the topic we'll be looking at tonight is how to get married and stay married. How to get married and stay married. Praise the Lord. There is nothing like an accidental great marriage. You can't have an accidental success in marriage. You cannot have a mistake success or a lucky success in marriage. Praise the Lord. You can't have and say, he's just lucky. She's just lucky. There is nothing like that. You know, I, as a person, I don't personally believe so much in luck. I believe in favor. So maybe favor can be called luck, fine. But I believe that when you say somebody is lucky, it means preparation meets opportunity. That's what is turned to luck. If you have luck and you are not prepared, you will waste the luck. Praise the Lord. Have you not seen people winning lottery? Huge money. It has been proven that more than 95% of them go broke before they die. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because they are not prepared for it. So when preparation meets with opportunity and goodness and favor of God, that's when you say you are lucky. So if you are not prepared, you can't have a good or great marriage. A great marriage does not fall from the sky. It's not something that just jump on somebody. It's not something that you just pick on the road as you are walking around. No. A good marriage is what you made to happen. You work for it. You labor for it. You seek for it. And you prepare yourself for it. That is the only way that you can achieve a good marriage. And I want to say this. To achieve success is much easier than to keep success. To achieve success is far more easier than to keep success. So in other words, to get married is easier than to remain married. Praise the Lord. That is, to see somebody and say, I'll marry you, and both of you take yourself to the altar, or you take yourself to the registry, and you get yourself joined together, is far much easier than to stay and remain together. You know, yesterday when we were praying, Pastor Benisha shared the story of a young lady who made a mistake, who has been trusting God and waiting for a married partner. And because she has waited for some time, she felt that she's getting old. And somebody came across her on Facebook, or is it on Facebook or WhatsApp or on social media, and they get to know one another. And before you could say Jack Robinson, they got married. And you know, he said something, he said, along the line, he knows the person. And he warned the person that, did you know this guy? He said, yes, I know him. I've been to his family once, as in I've met his parents once. And he told the person, that is not enough. Meeting them once is not enough. He said, no. Have you prayed? No. She won't listen. And let me shock you. 2 weeks after she got wedded to the guy went ahead to marry another wife. Just 2 weeks. Now the question I ask myself is, what will be going on in the mind and in the brain of that young lady? I know she didn't prepare for that. She didn't bargain for that. But I tell you, she also prepared for it. Because she didn't do the needful. So there are steps for you to take for you to have a successful marriage. There are steps for you to take when you are getting married. You don't just jump into things that is going to last forever. Marriage lasts till death do us part. That is, you are going to spend a long time in it. Praise the Lord. So something you will spend a long time in is not something that you should jump into in a hurry. Praise the Lord. So we'll be looking at tips of how to get married. And I want you to know that it is you that will make your marriage to work. It is you. Why God gave us brain and gave us willpower is for us to do certain things for ourselves. Praise the Lord. And it is when you have made your marriage to work that your marriage will beget a lovely and a goodly home and family. If it is not working, you cannot achieve that. And that is why we'll be looking at tips of what you need to do when you are getting married or you want to get married, number one thing that you need to do is get wisdom and knowledge on marriage. Get wisdom and knowledge on marriage. The book of Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Praise the Lord. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Brethren, it amazes me how many people are trusting God for marriage partner and they have not picked up a book, just one book, on marriage or on relationship. If I take a sample now, and I said, how many of us have read 3 books on marriage this year that are single? You'll be surprised. We don't read. And I tell you, there are things that you will learn and unlearn. There are things that you have learned maybe from your family, from your parents, from your father, from your mother, that it is when you allow the Spirit of God to come into you, you unlearn some of those things. And there are some things that you don't learn, your parents did not teach you at all, that you will learn when you get to know God and you get to know certain things. Praise the Lord. There are good books on marriage and relationship by seasoned author with proofs. People who are proven, who have godly marriages, whom God has inspired to package books together that you can pick up and read. Brethren, knowledge is power. If you want to have dominion over any area, you need to seek knowledge in that area. So if you don't have wisdom, if you don't have knowledge, you cannot aspire to do certain things. Praise the Lord. You cannot give what you don't have. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, we do a lot of things by faith. Recently, I was talking to somebody and I said, I have faith. But there are certain things that I don't faith because God has given me brain to think. I don't need to start bothering God and bombarding God on the kind of food I want to eat. I said, God, which food should I eat? What kind of prayer is that? I should know, I'm an adult, what kind of food I want to eat. He has given me desire. Praise the Lord. In fact, if I'm desiring something and I don't have the resources to even get it, I won't even get it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it's not only your desire, your pocket also plays a role. For example, if you are desiring KFC burger, C-steps, and they say it's $20 per pack, and you don't have $20, definitely you have to settle for maybe 2 steps. Praise the Lord. You don't need to start praying and fasting. Praise the Lord. God has given us ability to seek after knowledge. And I tell you, the greatest book that you can read and get knowledge on marriage, on how to get married and stay married, is the Word of God. This book is not just history. This book is not just package of fables. This is the Word of God. This is the manual for our life. And that is why if you go through the Bible, you will see scriptures telling you on how you should live your life as a man, how you should live your life as a woman, how you should relate in your relationship. If you go through the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalms, they are loaded, New Testament, Old Testament, with examples for us to follow. So get knowledge, get wisdom on marriage. Seek after it. Praise the Lord. For some of us, if you are training to become an accountant, it is natural that there are some books that you will read. In those days, I know only one, Frank Wood. I don't know if it still exists. That's the only one I know, Cost Accounting and something, something. I know only that one. You will read plenty of accounting textbooks, isn't it, before you become an accountant. If you want to be a medical doctor, you read anatomy, biology, chemistry, plenty things you will have to read. Physiology, this one, that one, plenty. Virology, you will do plenty. You will study a lot because you want to become a medical doctor. Now, you want to enter into something that you will never graduate from. And you are not prepared. You are not seeking information and knowledge on how to handle the situation. I tell you, that person is already preparing for failure. May we not prepare for failure in the name of Jesus. Number two, because of my time, is be the right person for someone. If you want to get married, you need to be the right person. What do we mean by that? A lot of us are not right. A lot of people are not right. They are not living right. They are not making themselves right. You first have to make yourself right. The book of 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 9 says, use hospitality without grudging. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. That is, be hospitable, express hospitality. Be cautious. Don't be rude. Don't be saucy. It's not only women that are saucy. There are some men that are very saucy. Very saucy. There are some men that are very picky. You do this, they will pick on you. You do that, they will pick on you. You do this, and you want the sister to like you? It won't work. It will not work. I remember years ago, a friend of mine who was in a relationship, though he later married the lady, and they are wonderfully married now. He took a step then that all of us were like, ah, what is wrong with you, Ogbeni? But now I realize that the guy did the right thing. Then we were a little bit naive. We didn't get it. And what was it? He stopped the relationship with the lady because he said the lady is too harsh. And that he doesn't want somebody that will be overly harsh to his children. That because him growing up, his mother was harsh to him. And he doesn't want to have a repeat of it in his home. So he broke the relationship. They've been cutting for about 2 years. So friends, we all have to come in and try to persuade him. Wonderful sister, beautiful sister, loaded. And the guy said, no. I'm not doing. But after a while, with much conviction and all that, he eventually came back and they happily married, doing wonderfully well today. But I tell you, that time, all of us were like, look at a loaded sister, a beautiful sister, wonderfully packaged. She's pocketically loaded and everything. Okay. And you are saying you are not doing because you say she's harsh. But now I understand. You know why? Because the guy could see that he doesn't want to have a repeat. So the sister also have to work on herself to change her life. That's why I said earlier, you have to unlearn some things and learn new things. Praise the Lord. Don't be overly harsh. Brother here comes. You look at him and said, in fact, I like everything about this brother. But I don't like the way he talks. His grammars are up and down. When he throw one, it's like a bomb. And because of that, you drop him. Another one comes, you say, ah, he said it's too big. Then you drop that one too. This one comes. Meanwhile, you yourself, you have not worked on yourself. Praise the Lord. So you have to make yourself right. You have to prepare yourself. How do you make yourself right? You have to work on your inner man. You have to be broken. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to remold you. Not only that, you have to work on your outward appearance also. To be the right person is not only inward. It's not only about spiritual things. You have to work on your mentality also. There are some of us that carries a mentality that is totally wrong. I tell you, every man, your Mr. Right, there are certain things that your Mr. Right will be looking for in his Miss Right. And if you have not prepared yourself for that, you cannot meet your Mr. Right. And when your Mr. Right comes, he will not see you. Because he won't find what he wanted. Praise the Lord. Don't be a lady that wakes up in the morning and will not brush. Yeah, I've seen it. Yes. You are surprised? Yes. We do the German wash. You know what is called German wash? Off I go. Yeah. If you have lived in hostel before, you will know what I'm talking about. Orimi ejika ekun ese. Rub and shine. Do rub and shine, and off I go. Or you are a lady, you will not keep your hair. One of the things, let me give you one. Things that guys look at in a woman is the hair. And that's why the Bible says the hair of a woman is given to her as what? As glory. And your hair is oozing some nice fragrance all the time. You meet the Mr. Right, because his nose is choking, his eyes will be closed. He won't see. Because you are choking him, his eyes is closed. So he will not see, he will just pass by. So you have to make yourself ready. You have to prepare yourself mentally, physically. Otherwise, prepare yourself very well. And I pray that when the right person comes, it will find you the right person also in the name of Jesus. Be cautious. Don't be rude. It's not only women that are rude. Some men are also very rude. Arrogant. Full of ego. Full of themselves. Please do away with that. And God will bless you. Number three, walk in faith and not doubt. Matthew chapter 19 verse 26 says something. It says, with man, things may not be possible. But with God, all things are what? Possible. All things with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are what? Possible. Have faith. Have faith that God is going to give you your partner. Everyone that is created, God created a partner. Nobody is created without somebody. Everyone has his own. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, have faith. Believe. Believe that the person is going to come. Believe and seek after. Having prepared yourself, having acquired knowledge and wisdom, you must back it up with faith that God is going to connect you to your rightful partner. And I pray for somebody tonight that God is going to connect you to your rightful partner in the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes we pray and we doubt our own prayers. How many of you have been there before? Be sincere. I've been there. You prayed. You have prayed fast. And after some time, you start. Is this prayer? Is God even answering this prayer? Is this prayer? Is he even crossing this roof? But I tell you, there is no prayer that is wasted. Especially when it is back up with faith. And I want to encourage each and every one of us tonight. Have faith that you are going to have a good home. Believe that you are going to have a successful marriage. As a young person, don't ever doubt within your heart that you will not have a good home. Believe and have faith that you are going to have a good home. You are going to have a good family. In fact, dream big. Dream big about your home. Praise the Lord. If possible, write it down. You know, sometimes ago, Mama said it. She said she wrote the thing as she wanted it. And when Papa would come, it was direct package, straight. She believed it, so she have it. Please don't doubt God. Sometimes we belittle God by our own estimates. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. We estimate God. We just estimate and reason that this is much that I can get. Who am I that I would deserve this? Don't have that kind of attitude. Believe that God is going to give you the best. The best. If you want TDH, believe it. If you want big, believe it. If you want thin, believe it. Yeah. Whatever you desire, believe it and have faith. Trust God that God is going to give you the right person. You know, one of the things I prayed for before getting married is that I want a woman that can manage money. Yeah. I prayed it too. Because I know that I don't know how to manage money sometimes. So I said, God, I've observed that as a young man, I'm making money, but I'm not able to keep some of these things because I lack some knowledge then, not now. Now I'm wiser. So I pray, I said, God, give me a woman that can manage resources. And I tell you, I didn't make a mistake. Resources. I specifically prayed, I want somebody that we know how to manage things very well. Sometimes I say, I ask myself, is it not too much? Praise the Lord. But you know, I never doubted it. I never doubted it. There are some conditions that you may think is not possible. They are small, small, little things. But when you have faith and you don't doubt it, you will have it. Number four, pay the price in the place of prayer. Pay the price in the place of prayer. Life will always give to you what you give to life. Massive investment in the place of prayer will yield massive returns. Pray extensively for your marriage. Pray extensively for your home. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. We are encouraged to pray without ceasing. Invest adequately in the place of prayer. Brethren, good thing needs prayer. Bad things needs more prayer. Everything needs prayer, especially in this part of the world. Somebody said, we pray too much. I said, no, we are praying too little. Praise the Lord. We need to know that prayer for our life, for our marriage, is essential. Pay the price in the place of prayer. And this is the problem with a lot of our youth. We are ATM minded. Just slot it in and have it and go. But let me tell you, if you slot in your ATM and you have no deposit inside, you will get nothing back. Go and try it. Withdraw everything in your account and then put the ATM and type 10,000. It will tell you you have insufficient fund and return your card back to you. And your card will come empty. It is what you have put in it, you have invested, that you get back. So invest in your life, invest in your family, invest in your future. In the place of prayer, take time to pray adequately. If you are in a relationship here tonight, I want to encourage you, please take time to pray. But when you are praying, don't go and lock yourself up together in one room and say you are praying. No. Look for a place that is open. You can come to church and pray. Praise the Lord. Don't go and hide in one lungu that is dark and say you are praying. And the sister is wearing something that you can see through. Ah, something else will happen. Moonlight, don't do moonlight prayer. No. But I encourage us to pray. Pray together. You may not necessarily have to be together at a particular place. Technology has made it easy. You can pray on the phone together. Somebody, I remember well, cutting my wife. She was in Delta State. I was doing my postgraduate in the north, miles apart. There was no mobile phone. I write every week. Every week. I write letters every week. And when I send the letter, after saying all the sweet, sweet things, writing poem and all that, I will write prayer points for the week. And we'll pray. She also sent her own, and we'll pray. Praise the Lord. You see, these things look funny, but they are real. And I'm not deceiving you. I still have some of those letters. Yeah, I kept them. I still have some of those letters. You know, poems and all that. Yeah. But after all those poems and everything, prayer must come. Now the day she asked me, don't you even have any gift to give apart from books? Because I'm always giving books. Don't you have anything to give apart from books? I said, well, that's what I like most. Praise the Lord. But I tell you, they are good. Things are better now. There are better things to give than books. Praise the Lord. So give better things than books as you give books also. But pray together, pray together, pray together. Pray together, and I pray that God will bless us in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Quickly, live a holy life. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, it is written, be ye holy for I am holy. Live a holy life. Run away from iniquity. The man has not paid your dowry. He has not paid the bride price. So he doesn't have entitlement to your body. He has no legal right to your body. Likewise, the woman has no legal rights to the man's body. You don't start exploring what has not been given to you. You don't have the exploration right. You don't have the license. Your marriage certificate is the license. You don't have it yet, so don't do it. Stay away from iniquity. The Bible said marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. You live with the guilt for the rest of your life. So stay away from it. As much as possible, stay away from it. There is dignity in remaining. Be holy. Be holy, for God is holy. Be holy, for God is holy. Stay away from ungodly relationship. You know, there are some relationships that are ungodly. How many of us know that? There are some relationships that have destroyed destinies. The guy drinks, and you know that he drinks. He smokes, and you know that he smokes. And you said, I will convert him. When we get married, you are deceiving yourself. Because you are not the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that converts. Praise the Lord. You've entered his house before and you see the scarf of another lady. And you asked, whose scarf is this? He couldn't give you a good answer. And you just pick it and throw it away. You come back again, you see another thing. You come the next time, maybe it is bag. You come again, until you come and you see another lady and you still say, I will die there. You are deceiving yourself. Say, when we marry, you will change. It will not change. Yeah, it won't. That's an ungodly relationship. What relationship has goat with sheep? Have you ever seen goat and sheep? No. As much as they are close genetically, they don't do together. If you're a child of God, remain a child of God. Sometimes ago, we're coming from somewhere on my car, and a lady said, I don't know what led to that talk. Then somebody said, I think maybe the person said, the person she's dating or something, that the person smokes or so. I can't remember very well now. And there's another lady, that day I respected that lady for the way she responded, and I respected her so much too now. She's right here in the church now. She screamed at the other lady. I said, how do you be in that kind of relationship? And I was trying to defend. I said, no, that's wrong. It's wrong. I just kept quiet driving. And after a while, I said, look, she's right. It's wrong. If you are in such thing, it's an ungodly, it will make you to sin. In my place, like Papa will say. They will say, the goat that walks with dog will eat poo-poo. The goat that walk with dogs will eat what? Poo-poo. You know, local dogs eat poo-poo. Not the kind of dogs that we have now. Those local, they eat poo-poo. So if the goat that sheep that goes with them, they will also pack poo-poo and eat. If they don't eat poo-poo, they will smell poo-poo. Yeah. So live a holy life. Stay away from ungodly association. Number six, possess good self-esteem, not pride. Wow, my time is fast spent and I still have plenty. Possess good self-esteem. Don't look down on yourself or look down on others. Operate with a good and moderate esteem. Don't be looking down on yourself. Be approachable. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 6, say, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Praise the Lord. That he may exalt you in due time. Have good self-esteem. Don't look down on yourself. Don't let anybody look down on you and make you look as if you are not who you are. You are a royal priesthood. A holy nation. Chosen by God. Set aside. Perfected. Redeemed. Don't let anybody paint you what you are not. And don't be proud. And I pray that God will bless you in Jesus' name. Number seven, possess good and godly character. I would love to talk a little bit about this. Possess a good and godly character. Character is key to being married. Never think that your mommy's character or your daddy's character will speak for you when you are married. It is your own character that will make your home. I'll talk more to the ladies, because ladies most often have that problem. Don't allow your character to delay or ruin your marital destiny. Develop a godly, goodly character. No man, I repeat, is looking for a woman with a bad character. Any good man will choose character before beauty. That's the truth. Any good thinking man will choose character before beauty. Beauty is important, but character is more important. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you must have a godly, goodly character. You know, there are some people, they are godly, but they don't have goodly character. You don't know. Yeah. They are born again, but they don't have goodly character. They can't relate. So develop ability to relate well. Be sociable. Be able to relate with others in a godly and goodly manner. And I pray that God will bless us in Jesus' name. Your character comes out of your attitude. And attitude is everything. Have the right attitude to things. And let me tell you this, you are not responsible to what others do to you, but you are responsible to your own response to their action. If somebody comes now and slap me, I'm not responsible for his slap. Even if I've done what is wrong, he has the ability to control himself. So I don't have the ability to control his anger, but I have the ability to decide how I will respond back. I have that within my possession. So your attitude must be right. And I pray that God will bless us in Jesus' name. Tips on how to stay married quickly. My time is fast spent, so I'm going to rush a little bit. Tips on how to stay married. Number one, to achieve success is much easier, like I said earlier. And to keep success is much more difficult. Getting married is much easier than staying married. So what do you do? Number one, keep God in your home. Let God be the head of the home. Let God's presence make all the difference in your life and in your home. The presence of God will exit devil and his agents from your home and family. I want to challenge you that you do all you can to keep the presence of God in your home and family. And how do you do this? Via family altar, devotion, worship, study. Keeping your environment conducive, making your environment conducive for the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, there are some environments that is not conducive for the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you know that. The Holy Spirit does not like dirty place. That's the truth. Because it's holy. It doesn't like unholy. You come in a house, you are praying, you have your refrigerator is full of Odeku. It's full of Gouda. Dry gin, whiskey, vodka, everything is there. And you are praying, speaking in tongue every day. And you say, it's not me that drinks it, it's my visitors. When they come, I just give them shot. And you want the Holy Spirit to be there. It's not going to be possible. Or you've loaded your CD with worldly music. Everything is worldly music all over. And you want God to move? No. In fact, I'll talk about this worldly music a little. There are spirit behind music. Somebody who has divorced 4 times sings a song and puts it in a CD. And that's the song you are playing every day in your home as a single person or as married. Yourself and your husband, that's what you will be possessed with the spirit of divorce. Because there's a spirit behind music. Yeah. Somebody that spoke banja wee wee, that has 72 wives or 34 wives, only God knows, before he dies. That's the music you are listening to. And you say you will not be jumping. You know, these things work in mysteries, but they are true. That kind of atmosphere, God cannot remain. So, your home must be filled with materials that attract the presence of God. It must be filled with joy. It must be filled with happiness. It must be filled with oneness, unity. not everything, quarrel, all over. Holy Spirit cannot work in such a home. Number two, agreement. Agreement. Amos 3:3 says, as two cannot work together except the word, except they be agreed. Amos 3:3. For a home to enjoy the joy of being together, there must be agreement. Can two work together except they be agreed? There must be agreement. There must be harmony. There must be unity for you to enjoy peace. Most often, what leads to war is disagreement. I want it this way. No, it must be this way. No, it cannot be that way. No, it must be this way. Disagreement, before you know it, this one, give this one blow. That one, give that one blow. Before you know it, it leads to this, it leads to that. That's the end. They start shooting themselves, killing themselves. War has started. Simple disagreement. And you know, the annoying part of it is that most war ends up on negotiation table. After they fight, kill each other plenty, they will still come back. UN will now come and say, hey, we want to make peace. They will now sit down. They will now negotiate. Then I'll start asking myself, why did you allow thousands of people to die when you know that you can sit down and make agreement? Why do you have to quarrel with your wife when you can just sit down and talk over it? Why do you have to quarrel with your wife when you can just sit down and have an agreement? This is how we want to do it. This is how we are going to do it. This is the way it will go. And you agree. This one shed a little weight, that one shed a little weight, this one take a little one, that one take a little one, and you come to a point and you move forward. What are the major causes of disagreement in the home? Number one, spiritual attacks. Sometimes the devil throws bomb of disagreement into homes. And that demonic attack creates a lot of friction in the home. You just see that every little thing, useless things, are the things that create quarrels and fights. Baseless things. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And all these things are in plural. They are not one single one that is singular. It means they are not one. So as you are finishing the principalities of this one, another principality is rising. So that is why prayer is important. That is why God must be present. Number two thing that causes disagreement is pride. Pride makes you to see others as inferior. Pride erodes your sense of judgment and equity. When you see that you are bigger than the other, you see yourself. You know, it's pride that makes you not to want to say sorry. The word that calm the worst volcano in the world is I'm sorry. And that word is difficult for some people. Some husband cannot tell their wife I'm sorry. Or some father tell their children I'm sorry. Can I tell my child I'm sorry? Or Motimubi, sorry. You will create things in the mind of that child that is not right. From time to time, tell them sorry so that they will learn how to say sorry. Don't just be saying, say sorry. Oh yeah, say sorry. Oh yeah, say sorry. The child will not say sorry. Because he has never seen you say sorry before. What is stubborn you? Cooking gone. Say sorry. He will not say sorry. Because he has not seen you say sorry. So you say the sorry first. Tell them I'm sorry. Sometimes when I do some things, maybe out of just snap, and I later realize that I'm wrong. I'm sorry, Daniel. I'm sorry, please. Though I'm sorry, I may make it a little, but I will still say it. I'm sorry, sorry. But it's one of them that will make me say the sorry very well. That's my daughter. She said, Daddy, what did you say? She will ask, so, what did you say? I said, I'm sorry. You said what? I said, I'm sorry. Okay. The sorry must even come with a hug. Praise the Lord. I do it. So that they will also know how to say sorry. Pride is what makes you not to say sorry. Pride is what makes you not to see that you are wrong. So take pride away. Selfishness and self-centeredness, they are two different things. Some people are self-centered. Everything must be around them. It must be their own point that must win. Some, they are selfish. Take that away. Selfishness cannot work in a marriage. Self-centeredness cannot work. Because marriage is sacrifice. And you cannot sacrifice if you are selfish or you are self-centered. You can't. So you must know this. that marriage involves a lot of sacrifice, especially for the woman. For the man also, a lot of sacrifice. Sometimes you see a nice jacket that you want to buy as a man, and the thing is doing you turn. You are feeling like, I want this. But when you think about the school fees, or you think about some money that your wife has asked, you say, if I buy this, I won't be able to do this. So let me close my eyes and go. Then you move. You have sacrificed something. Praise the Lord. But if you are selfish, you will forget that need. And you will go for that thing. Because it is you. You want to satisfy yourself. So these are the causes of disagreement in the home. And this must be dealt with in the name of Jesus. Lack of care and satisfaction. Husband must satisfy their wife. Wives must take care of their husband. You must ensure that you satisfy your wife as a husband. Husband that are here tonight, please ensure that you take care of your wife. Don't just abandon your family. Don't just forget about them like that. There are some guys that did that out of a young man who went to take a loan and used his wife as surety. And the loan people came and carried the wife and the kid and locked them up and gave them phone. Oh yeah, call your family member. And the guy ran away. Yeah. Call your family member. What kind of stupidity is that? Stupidity of the highest order. Lack of care. Don't care for your family. If you know you are not ready to take responsibility as a man, tie your thing. Tie it up. Just remain Enoch. Easy. There's no harm in it. The Bible did not say if you become an Enoch, you will not go to heaven. But it says it is better to be married. So if you know that you can't take responsibility, then zip up. Don't pump babies, then to take care of them becomes issues. This creates a lot of disagreement, quarrel, anger, finance. Number five is finance. Finance is usually a strong issue in home. My time is up, so I'm rounding up. Hush, Holy Spirit. However, with understanding, finance can be handled. Don't overstretch your husband as a wife. Don't overstretch your husband. Husband should not be too stingy to their wife also. Don't overstretch your husband. Manage with him. Manage with him. You know, sometimes women does this. You have asked the man for something. And the man said, I will give. Just give me time. Or this is how much I have now. I will give. He said, okay. Then 1 hour after, you ask again. You repeated the same thing. 2 hours after, you ask again. He will get angry. It's normal. He has explained to you that, look, this is the condition. Let's manage. You said, no, okay, I've had them. You kept asking. It takes a man that has patience not to react. That's the truth. Or your husband, you have the money. Your wife asks, you said, Motibo. She asks you again, say, Odola. Then she asks you again, say, I will do it. And you have the money and you are spending. She'll get angry. We shouldn't do that. Lastly, infidelity. Infidelity. The Bible says the marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4. Infidelity. If you are married, stay married. If you are married and you are defiling bed up and down, or you are a lady defiling a man's, another woman's bed, you are heaping judgment on yourself. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 18. 1 Corinthians 6 18. You are heaping judgment on yourself. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without a body, but he that committed fornication sinned against his own body. We must understand this, and I pray that God will bless us in Jesus' name. Number 3 point on how to stay married, quickly, because my time is up already. Love and honor each other. Love and honor each other. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22 to 23. Husband must love their wives. Wives must honor their husband. Don't talk to your husband as if you are talking to your son or to your child. It's not your child. It's not your son. Respect him as your king. Respect your wife as your queen. Understand each other. Men see honor as love. And I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. Number four, disallow ungodly and external interferences and influences. Ungodly external interferences and influences. I tell you, it is good to have counselors and role models and mentors, but they must be godly. Proverbs chapter 24 verse 6 says, in multitude of counsel there is safety. But I tell you, if those counsel are wrong counsel, there will be war and destruction. Thank you, sir. There will be destruction. There will be destruction. So take time. Take time. Take time. Don't go after people that will advise you ungodly, that will make you to do things that are not right. I've shared this story before on the same pulpit. While I was small, my father used to have a friend I will never forget that used to advise him wrongly. And we all disliked the man, because we know when the man comes around, by the time he leaves, there will be fire in the house. There will always be fire. So anytime he comes like this, we are not happy, because he will always come and cause commotion in the house. And I tell you, we prayed him out. We took our time with our mom and prayed the man out. Suddenly, government transferred him to a far place. They transferred him and he remained there till he retired. He never came back to our home. Yeah. Because if somebody will come and tell you that it's because you are not bitter, that's why she doesn't know that you're a man. Bitter! Give her a slap. Then she will respect you. Then you come back and say, hey, I'll show you today I'm a man. Then you say something. Say, and you intentionally instigate quarrel, so that the woman can talk. And she too will not keep her mouth shut. And she will say one thing. Boom, 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 boom. Beating starts. Or you are the woman. You say, Alakori wa Buddha Dauri Akwe. Abuse him properly. Then his head will come down. Wrong counsel. Or say, pack your load and go. Amori Obaku. Oh yeah, take off. These are counsel that originate from the pit of hell. The person that is counseling you, first look at their own home. Like this man I talked about. He didn't have a good home. I remember very well. He never had a good home. Look at their own home. I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. If you want to get counsel from people of God. You have pastors. You have leaders that you can come to that can counsel you. Biblical principles. Things that will benefit your life. And I pray that as you do this, the Lord will help you in Jesus' name. Number five, do good to each other. Be kind to one another. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 to 11. Be kind to one another. Seek the good of one another. For he that will love life and see good day, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that he may speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensure it. I love that second part. Let him seek peace and ensure peace. In other words, it means you must seek peace and ensure peace. Do good to one another. Be kind-hearted. Don't be intimidated with one another's success. As a married man, your wife is succeeding. Don't be intimidated. I know a man that set up a business for his wife. And after a while, but not only one, at least I know about two or three like that. After a while, the wife's business can pay his salary. As in, the wife can convenient. The man said it with his own mouth. I said, look, now my wife can pay my salary. And he's not envious. He doesn't, you know what? Every year he takes loan. You take like maybe 1 million, 2 million from his place of work and give to the wife. They'll be deducting it 100K from his salary. And the wife will use it to trade. And the business of the wife, the woman travels abroad like I'm going to the Pata market. I tell you, this man, though not born again, never feel jealous for one day or show it for one day that the wife is now bigger than him. No. And when he was doing his 50th birthday, the wife bought him a Jeep. Nissan Xterra, solid one. And gave it to him as Jeep. And he bragged with it. He himself is loaded. He has his own money. He's earning good pay. He probably said, it's my wife that bought that car. That car, my wife bought it for me. And he's happy and contented. And I asked myself, if an unbeliever can be like this. This man drinks like... I won't talk about it again. But I tell you, he's never envious. And they have a perfect marriage. If you enter their home, you will eat, yeah? Your tummy will burst. Perfect home. They understand each other like 5 and 6. He never gets envious. Do good to one another. Ensure that you make things easy for one another. Husband, make things easy for your wife. Don't make things difficult for your wife. If you notice that the woman keeps washing clothes and she's just washing and the kids keep getting it dirty, buy a washing machine. See, anything I see that makes my wife work easier, I get it for her. Yeah. If I go somewhere, I see something, I know this thing will help her. I don't even tell her. I'll just come back home and say, hey, I just bought this. So that our life could become easier. There is nothing in the kitchen that I don't know how to buy. So that our life can be easier. And I can also eat good meals. Yeah. Because when she's stressed, she will just tawgbo epapo and pack it for you. But when you make the things easy for her, it's easy. So do good to one another. Don't stress up one another. And life will not be stressful for you in Jesus' name. Number 6, pray for each other regularly. I'll be stopping here. Pray for each other regularly. Regularly take time to pray for one another. Pray extensively for one another. Brethren, men most often don't pray for their wives. Yeah. Women pray more. If you listen, you know why I'm saying this. I don't know if you have been to some churches where they pray some kind of prayer aloud. If you sit beside a woman and you are listening to the prayer of the woman, 60%, or let me say 50% will be for her children, 30% will be for her husband, 10% will be for her siblings and her parents, then 5%, 5 to 10% is what will be for her. But sit beside the man and listen to his prayer. 70%, my business, my work, my container, my ministry. 20%, children, wife. In fact, 20%, don't take much. 10%, the remaining, God keep me, give me good health. Give me good health. Case close. You won't even hear him mention mama or baba for where. That's the truth. Take time to pray for one another. Create time and say, tonight we are praying together. We are doing VG together. We are praying together. You see, when you pray together, you bind together. When you pray together, you cleave together. When you pray together, the Bible says one will chase 1,000 and two will chase 10,000. Your prayer becomes more effective. It becomes more effective. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. So when you now have two righteous people praying together, it will avail much, 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 much more. And more power is released unto you. And your family enjoy more grace. I pray for somebody tonight that the Lord will give you the grace to enjoy a perfect marriage in the mighty name of Jesus. Your marriage will be full of God's grace in the name of Jesus. Also, take time to play together. Play together from time to time as husband and wife regularly. I pray that God will bless us in Jesus' name. Can we just bow down our hearts as we pray to God tonight?
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.